Lord, open now my heart to hear, and through your word to me draw near. Let me your word e'er pure retain. Let me your child and heir remain. Your word inspires my heart within. Your word grants healing from my sin. Your word has power to guide and bless. Your word brings peace and happiness. O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray that you would pour out upon us these blessings of your love in our worship today. Amen. Stand. Welcome to this morning's service in the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior, who uses his holy word to instill faith in our hearts and also to confess our faith publicly before our fellow Christians, as Josh will be doing later in the service today in his confirmation ceremony, and also who uses that same word to preserve and keep us in the faith as his children throughout our life till we join our Shepherd King in heaven. We pray the Spirit of our God be poured out upon us this morning as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we follow the order of worship as you find it printed in the liturgy insert inside the front cover of the maroon hymnal. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to Your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you grace and strength to live according to His will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God. We give you thanks and praise of heavenly joy and peace on earth. We sing, we worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God, almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord. At God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify.
Let us pray. O God, because you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding, pour into our hearts such love for you that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
In our epistle lesson this morning, the Apostle Paul urges us, in view of the spiritual foes that we are up against in this sinful world, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Paul describes the spiritual armor and the powerful weaponry that our Lord has graciously placed at our disposal, which He promises to use throughout our life to shield us from spiritual danger and empower us to wage successful warfare against our great enemy, the Prince of Darkness, Satan. May God grant us all wisdom to take up this armor daily, that we might in the Lord's strength fight the good fight of faith and ultimately obtain the victor's crown of eternal life in heaven. We read from Ephesians 6, beginning with the 10th verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Here ends the first lesson. Let's join now in responsively reading selected verses from the 19th Psalm, as printed in your bulletin. The heavens declare the glory of God. Their voice goes out into all the earth.
Their words to the ends of the world.
The law of the Lord is perfect.
Reviving souls.
The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy.
Making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right.
Giving joy to the heart.
The commands of the Lord are radiant.
Giving light to the eyes.
They are more precious than gold. By them is your servant warned.
In keeping them, there is great reward.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart
be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Today's gospel reading, our Savior Jesus compares our faith relationship to Him to branches that are attached to a vine. Just as grapevine branches grow and produce a crop of berries by the nourishment that they receive from their parent stem, so we as disciples of Jesus are able to retain our faith and produce fruits of faith pleasing to our God and for His glory only as we remain in Him. That is, as we stay connected to Christ through faithful hearing and learning of His Word. May the Holy Spirit bestow this precious gift of love for God's life-giving, faith-sustaining Word upon our confirmand and upon all of us for Jesus' sake. We read in John 15, verses 1 to 9, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and treasure it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
We stand as we now join our hearts and voices together in confessing our Christian faith, the faith that again, the Lord has graciously also worked in our confirmand and that he will be professing later on in the service in our gracious triune God. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hymn 660. Please stand. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God our Heavenly Father and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Word of God for our consideration on this Confirmation Sunday are the third and the fourth parts of baptism as found in Martin Luther's Small Catechism. The third part, how can water do such great things? Well, the water doesn't actually do anything by itself. The power is in God's Word, which is in and with the water, and in faith, which trusts this Word of God in the water. Without the Word of God, it is just plain water and there is no baptism. But with the Word of God, it really is a baptism, that is, the gracious water of life and washing of rebirth through the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul says in the third chapter of Titus, according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. Titus 3, 5-8. And then the fourth part of baptism. What is the meaning of this baptism with water? It means that the old Adam in us should be drowned by daily contrition and repentance and die with all sins and evil desires. It also means that a new man should daily appear and arise who lives eternally before God in righteousness and purity. Where is this written? St. Paul says in the sixth chapter of Romans, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So far the text. Jesus' name, dearly beloved of God, especially you, Joshua, who today are confirming your faith in your gracious triune God, the Father who created you, the Son who saved you, and the Holy Spirit who set you apart as one of God's own by bringing you to faith. What a special day of your life it was. November 16th, 2003. What happened on November 16th, 2003? You know, we talked about it in confirmation class. Exactly 1 week after your birthday was when you were carried by your parents, or maybe your godparents, up to the baptismal font here in church. And you were baptized. And that was the day of your spiritual rebirth, when your Father in heaven graciously, through the water, connected with his holy, precious word, blessed you with faith in Christ, washed away all of your sins, adopted you into his family, made you an heir of heaven. What a special day that was, as indeed our baptism day was for all of us. Whether or not we were baptized as little children or at some point later in life. But today we're going to be reminded of how our confirmation is connected closely with our baptism. We're going to see the wonderful meaning that our confirmation has just because it is closely connected with the sacrament of holy baptism. And we begin by asking you, Josh, to imagine the following scenario. I have a check that I have made out to you. It's make-believe, but we'll pretend that it is genuine. It's made payable to Joshua Ruggie, to you from me, the amount of $1,000. How much is this check worth to you? Again, assuming that it's real. Well, I might say $1,000, right? It actually was a trick question, because if you look closely at this check, you'd see that it has no signature on the bottom, and therefore it's worthless. Checks that aren't signed aren't any good. But now let's say I have another check that I've made out in your name to you for $1,000, and I did sign my name to the bottom of the check. Assuming I have enough money in the bank to cover this check, now how much is it worth to you? $1,000? Well, yeah, if you don't believe that it's true, you might say, Pastor Schutze, he's just joshing me, no pun intended, when he gave me this check, so you don't go to the bank and cash it, throw it in the wastebasket. It's worthless to you. But if you believe me and you take it to the bank to cash it, it's worth $1,000. Now, what does all this have to do with baptism? You know, just as the paper on which a check is written is very simple and yet powerful because of the signature that's affixed to the bottom of the check, even so, the water of holy baptism, though being very simple, yet is capable of doing amazingly wonderful and powerful things because of the name in which your baptism was administered, the name of the triune God. And because of the faith, that's the other important part, the faith which your God gave you in your baptism to believe the things that he has said. Think about just the simple water, the things that it can do, simple though it be. It is able to hydrate us when the temperatures soar into the 90s like they've been doing lately. It has power to quench our thirst. Water, though being very simple, can do the amazing thing of cleaning things, washing our cars, cleaning the messy dishes, bathing our bodies. Water has the power to make things grow. You take a garden hose and put it on the flower bed out back, or sprinkle it on your lawn. It makes things green and keeps them green and growing. So also the water of baptism, once again, because of the mighty Word of God, the triune God connected to it, and the faith that God gave you to trust His Word in baptism, had the marvelous ability to do such wonderful things as washing away your sin filth, giving you ability to grow in grace, the knowledge of your Savior Jesus, and to produce fruits of faith to His glory throughout your earthly life. Martin Luther put it so nicely in that part of the catechism that we shared, which you have memorized, part 3. We spoke of it also last Sunday in the question and answer section of the catechism. How can water do such great things? The water doesn't actually do anything by itself, but the power is in God's Word, which is in and with the water, and in the faith that trusts this Word of God in the water. Without the Word of God, it's just plain water, and there is no baptism. With the Word of God, it really is a baptism, that is, a gracious water of life and a washing of rebirth through the Holy Spirit. And then the passage from Titus upon which Luther based this teaching, Titus 3, 5-8. You may call to mind, Joss, also a story that I'm sure you covered in your Sunday school lesson. All your kids may remember it. The story of the Syrian army captain Naaman. Remember that story? Who had a very bad problem, the disease of leprosy, and he was told to make a trip down to the land of Israel to see a prophet of God, Elisha, because it was told that that man can help you. And so he went down to see Elisha. Remember what Elisha told him? Go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. and you'll be cured of your leprosy. And at first he was very angry, Naaman was, and he balked. He said, I might have just as well stayed home and washed in one of the rivers back home that's clean and pure rather than that muddy Jordan River. If that's all it takes for me to get cured, a simple thing like that. He thought Elisha was going to order him to do something hard to get his healing. Finally, with the help of one of his wise servants, Naaman agreed. He went and washed in the Jordan as God's prophet told him to do, and lo and behold, he was cured. His flesh was restored and became like that of a young child, not because of the water, power of the water that the Jordan River had, but because of the word of God that he listened to and followed. And so it was for you, Josh, when you were washed in the waters of baptism, a very simple action on the surface. There was nothing that your parents or anybody else in church that day saw happen, but nonetheless, through it, because of the word of God used with your baptism water, the leprosy of your sin was cured, and you became a dear and holy child of your God. Therefore, your baptism has indeed very wonderful meaning, not only for you, but for all of us, because our baptism did the same thing for each of us, washed us clean from our sin leprosy, account of which we had been destined to spend eternity in the fires of hell forever, but not anymore. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus our Lord. And Paul also writes in another place, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of your God. What wonderful meaning, power, holy baptism has. There's also a quote of Luther I'd like to share on that same subject that was thought very special. Yeah, this is from his Large Catechism when he said, suppose there was a doctor who knew how to stop people from dying, or even if they did die, to make them live on forever. Just imagine, Luther wrote, how people would shower that doctor with money, with all the rich people wanting to see him, nobody else could get near. Well, here in baptism, what is delivered free of charge to everyone is a priceless medicine just like that, which swallows up death forever and keeps us alive with our God eternally. And so when you, in a few moments, you walk by the or walk up to the baptismal font near it, when you stand before the Lord's altar, Josh, and you stand there to make confession of your faith before your God, before your family members, and before the Christian congregation, think back. Think back to your holy baptism when your Heavenly Father made you His by causing you to be spiritually reborn through faith in Him. And that's the God you'll be pledging your faithfulness to, who has shown you such love. Let your baptism also be something you remember not only on your confirmation day, but every day of your life. Baptism indeed has rich meaning for all of us, not only the day we got baptized, but throughout our entire life, for as long as we live. We talked about this too in our catechism study, connection with part 4 of Holy Baptism, which I shared earlier. What is the meaning of this baptism with water? It means that the old Adam in us should be drowned by daily contrition and repentance and is to die with all sins and evil desires. And it also means that a new man should daily appear and arise, who lives eternally before God in righteousness and purity. Just as St. Paul says in chapter 6 of Romans, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you also should walk in newness of life. You remember how in our catechism instruction we discussed how as baptized children of God, we still have that old self, that old Adam, that sin nature, also called the flesh, and the new man, or the Christian nature that the Holy Spirit graciously created within us by our baptism. But just as a person who's taken a bath does not want to go outside and play in the dirt right away, he wants to stay clean, so as baptized children of God, cleansed of our sin through faith in Jesus, we want to stay clean of our sinfulness. We want to not let that old Adam, that sin nature that we all have, to get the upper hand in our life. We don't want to live, we don't want to behave like the people of the godless world. As we heard in our epistle lesson from Ephesians, we have that host army of wickedness in heavenly realm that we as Christians have to fight against every day, which tries to draw us away from our confirmation pledge, from our baptismal grace. And it is our new life that the Lord created in us in our baptism that also leads us to want to live the life of a child of God. As we think about our baptism, all the things the Lord has done for us, the Lord then also uses our baptism, which may have happened many years ago, to give us the strength that we need to do just that. As you hear and study the Word of God faithfully throughout your life, as you receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper diligently throughout your life as a Christian, your God, your gracious Heavenly Father, your triune God, promises to supply you with His strength to live that new life that He set in motion in you in your baptism, and to fulfill your confirmation pledge. Once again, in the face of the mighty foes that we're up against in this godless world. Therefore, be encouraged. May we all be encouraged to remember the power and the meaning of our baptism. Not only when we were baptized or when we were confirmed, but also throughout our life. On those days when we're tempted to fall into sin, when we're inclined to doubt God's promises to us and maybe doubt the things that we've learned from the Bible in our youth, let's remember who we are, what God has made of us in our baptism. As we go back to our baptism and daily repentance, drowning our old Adam, our sin nature, that new man will daily appear and arise, get stronger and stronger day by day, and will enable us to live before our God in righteousness and purity forever. For His praise and His glory. And that is a promise of your God you can take to the bank, more precious than many thousands of dollars. Amen. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who promised is faithful, and He will do it. Amen.
Take not your Holy Spirit.
invite you to stand for prayer. And one special petition that we desire to offer this morning is on behalf of Georgia Waters. She was hospitalized on Friday at St. Anthony's with a bout with pneumonia. She's coming along a little better now, and by God's grace, might maybe be able to return home in a couple of days. We desire to offer a prayer in her behalf this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every day of health that you've given our fellow Christian Georgia Waters and for every measure of strength that you've granted her body and mind. We come to you in her hour of suffering, asking you mercifully to restore her health and strength if it be your will. Let her experience no further distress from her illness. We dare to ask these things of you, poor sinners though we are, because Jesus died for us, and it is for his sake that we can come to you with our petitions. Help our Christian sister to use her days of health as well as her moments of suffering to the glory of your name. Anoint all who are sick and injured with your balm of healing, O God. Forgive each of us his trespasses. Through Jesus, your Son, our Savior, we pray. O Lord, all goodness flows from you. You are holy, and holy is your name. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. The sun, moon, planets, and stars all bear witness to your wisdom and power. All the energy and forces of the universe, the sea and the clouds, the thunder and lightning, the earth and all that is in it are your creation, your servants, and messengers to us of your wonder and might. The firmament shows forth your handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows forth knowledge. All things seen and unseen are a testimony to your rule and reign. We thank you, dear Father, for the testimony of the created world to your power. But most especially, we praise you for the sure word of light and the truth of the Holy Scriptures. Grant that your true word, given to us through the prophets and apostles, may always lead us into the light of your grace and the promise of the glorious light to come. Dear Lord Jesus, you are truly the best gift of heaven, for in your birth you took on yourself our flesh, in your death you took on yourself our sins, and in your resurrection you've guaranteed our own rising from the grave to eternal life. Give us always your word and truth and all the mercies of your sacrifice for us, that we may be raised to newness of life. By the power of your Holy Spirit, enable us to do away with the lusts of the flesh in our lives, to put away all hatred and bitterness, and to overcome all sinful habits, so that we might walk according to your holy will. Spirit of the living God, you established your church, bringing us to spiritual life through the preaching of the law and the gospel of your inspired word. Grant that we may bring to you in word and action all the fruits of righteousness. Let our whole lives sound forth your praise for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Give the light of life, O Lord, to all peoples of the earth, that they may put away sin, acknowledge Jesus as their Savior, and walk before you in faith and obedience. Give our own country leaders whose consciences are tuned to your voice, and citizens whose hearts are fixed on doing your will. O Lord God, Creator, King, and Spirit, help us now during the days of our earthly pilgrimage, and in the time of our death, preserve us for your eternal kingdom, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. We also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated, and Joshua, you may come forward. Dear Dearly beloved Joshua, when you were a little child, you received the sacrament of holy baptism as a divine seal of God's forgiveness for your sins and of your adoption into His family through faith in Jesus your Savior. It's by this faith that you became a member of the Holy Christian Church and your body the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now that you've been instructed in the Word of God, you are able to examine yourself so that you may properly receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper with the Church of God. And so you stand here today before God and this Christian congregation to make public profession of your faith in the triune God and to dedicate yourself, body and soul, for time and eternity to your God and Lord. Lift up your heart with me, therefore, to the God of all grace, and cheerfully give answer to what I shall now ask you in the name of the Lord and as the minister of His church. Do you this day, in the presence of God and this Christian congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave to you in your baptism?
I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and ways?
I do.
Do you believe in the triune God? God the Father, your Creator, God the Son, your Redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit, your Sanctifier, as we confessed Him this day in the Apostles' Creed?
I do.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired and the inerrant Word of God, and the teaching of this Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from the Bible, as you've learned to know it from your study of Dr. Martin Luther's Small Catechism, to be true and correct?
I do.
Do you wish to become a communicant member of St. Paul Evangelical Lutheran Church, which is a congregation affiliated with the Church of the Lutheran Confession?
I do.
Do you also intend to continue steadfast in the confession of the Scriptures and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Finally, do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the rule of the divine word, to be diligent in the use of the means of grace, to live your life as a redeemed child of God, and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to the triune God, even unto death?
I do so intend with the help of God.
Upon these your professions and promises, I invite and welcome you as a member of this Evangelical Lutheran congregation to share with us all the gifts which the Lord has given to His church in a lifetime of worship and service to Him, your Lord and Savior. Give now your hand at the Lord's altar and kneeling, receive His blessing. Joshua Robert Ruge, may God, our Heavenly Father, who has begun the good work in you, carry it on to completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And your memory verse, which you selected for your confirmation, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you that you brought your servant Joshua Ruge to your son Jesus in holy baptism, cleansed him by Jesus' blood, and buried him with him by baptism into his death. We implore you of your goodness to renew in him the gift of your Holy Spirit, so that his heart may be filled with the light of your gospel. Increase in him pure knowledge and true faith, that he may firmly believe in you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent, and ever cling to you with an unwavering faith. Defend him from the power of darkness, and establish him in the kingdom of your Son, wherein we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Fill his heart and mind with the peace of Christ, the joy of the Holy Spirit, and love for you and all mankind. Endow him richly with the gifts of your heavenly grace, that he may be led into all truth, crucify the deeds of the flesh, overcome the assaults and temptations of the wicked one, and serve you in your church in holiness and righteousness all his days, and that together with all true believers, he may with a joyful heart and watchful prayer and in self-controlled godly living hope and wait for the coming of the Savior to the honor of your holy name, who lives and reigns with the Son and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen. God's blessings and congratulations and your confirmation certificate. Go in peace. We join together now in singing the next hymn. Please rise. We continue now with the pre-communion liturgy as you find it printed in the liturgy insert on the middle of page 17. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift
them up to the Lord. It is right and beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Sustain with your mercy and grant us your peace.
Communicants may now come forward as the usher directs. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Now may this true body and true blood of our Savior Jesus strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. Go in peace. conclude our service with the liturgy as it begins starting on page 20. Go in peace and serve the Lord with gladness.
Heart has now become your dwelling, O blessed Holy Trinity. With angels I your praises telling shall live in joy eternally. Lord, may your body and your blood be for my soul the highest good.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
When we conclude our service with the singing of hymn, whatever the number is, 922, I think it is. It's a hymn that Josh picked especially for his confirmation service.